Hi, welcome to Life After Choice, Caffeine Convos, where we discuss abortion-related issues from a biblical point of view.
This is Life After Choice, Caffeine Convos. My name is Michelle, and I'm here with my husband, Jerry.
Good morning.
Good morning. You've got your coffee. I've had my chai, and we're ready to talk about this interesting word, the word choice, which is really central to the whole pro-abortion movement.
Full of meaning.
It's got so much. We really want to share with you today some ideas that we've been tossing around. So good morning to you listeners. One of the reasons that Jerry and I think about this subject quite a bit is that we have a beloved family member who has made some choices that have ended him up where he is, and he's not in a good place. And we saw him early on in life make some good choices, but also make some poor choices. And now here he is, a middle-aged man, and he's really leaned into those poor choices in a way that is reflected in the way that his life has turned out. We see that his choices have had consequences. We want to encourage him to make good choices, but he keeps making poor ones, and we see the consequences of those choices. So you hear me using this word consequences. The fact is that the choices that we make in life do not exist in a vacuum. They have results. They have consequences, and they can be reflected in what we see in the life of a person.
Where we are today is a function of the choices we made yesterday.
Exactly. We can map out where we started, where we went. The trajectory of our lives is absolutely a result of the choices that we made.
A collection of choices.
Yes. And we see actually the nature of a person, his character or her character or lack of character, we can see. And those things are a result of whether, you know, the choices that they made were character-building choices or character-tearing-down choices.
Or informed with the right ideas.
Yeah, you like to talk about how our choices are informed.
Yes, there's many reasons to make choices or not make choices. If we delay our gratification, for instance, we're able to gather our resources and be able to make choices with some power and able to affect our future in a large step, take a big step. But if we don't husband our resources and delay our gratifications many times, we don't have the resources to make big steps. We make a series of little steps, and the choices that are engendered there is less powerful, and it also creates negative choices that cause us to be hindered in reaching our goal. Maybe we'll have a high-flown notion of what we want to be, but we don't take the steps and form our decisions so that we can make these powerful choices that can get us toward our goal.
And I think in a lot of ways, when you talk about husbanding your resources and you talk about not making choices for instant gratification, you're really talking in many ways about the sexual area of life.
Among others, yes.
Yeah. And this is where...
Eating that second piece of pie.
Yeah, well, okay. Not just sex, but mind-altering drugs come into that, alcohol use, those things which give us an immediate pleasure and a long-term liability,
mm-hmm.
I would say. So when we think about the word choice and understand that it's used so much by the pro-abortion movement, we have to understand that it's being sold as something that has no consequences. The choice to have sexual freedom and the choice to destroy the consequences of that sexual freedom, one of which is a baby, that is being sold as something which exists in a vacuum. You make your choice, it empowers you, you are fully independent and autonomous, and you have no reason to fear anything that might be around the corner waiting for you. So that's choice as a myth, and that's not reality, because everything has a consequence and every choice we make has a consequence. Good choices have good consequences and bad choices have bad consequences. Many times, particularly younger women, are not acting out of free will or out of a sense of being able to make a choice at all. Many times they're being pressured by a boyfriend, by a parent, or even just by the culture at large that really promotes the taking of the life. It really reinforces the taking of the life of the child. There's a climate of desperate helplessness and hopelessness about the future that frequently comes along with an unexpected pregnancy. The second myth, of course, is that the choice somehow doesn't touch the child. The fact is that the child whose life is lost had no choice in that as well. And Jerry, you and I were talking about how if you were to propose to a pro-abortion woman that she would allow her mother to make her serious life choices for her, like, let your mom decide how you're going to dress, how you're going to wear your hair. Let your mom decide where you're going to live and what your career is going to be. I think that most grown women would say, no, thank you. I want to be free to make that choice for myself. You don't want your mother making major life choices for you. So much more we can say for the child in the womb. If we have regard for that person, we would understand that he or she does not want mother deciding whether he or she is going to live or die.
Just as the mother who makes the choice to abort would not have her mother abort her.
There are those of us like I was, you know, a young person indoctrinated into feminist ideology at a very young age. I walked into an abortion clinic feeling like, wow, this is a defining moment for me. I was even just a little excited because I felt like I'm having an abortion. I'm becoming that person that the ideology defined for me as being a complete woman. And I walked out of there in the opposite condition. I was utterly crushed and realizing that I had made a terrible mistake. And I felt immediately betrayed by the ideology. But I think you have something to say about the people who are not like the worker bees such as I was, but those who actually engineer these ideas.
The propagate the ideas and formulate the ideas to young women, their purpose is to militate against the society and the culture they are in. And they want to tear down the establishment, smash the patriarchy, and usher in another culture. And that is something that's not spoken about to those who are actually on the front lines having the abortions, but are formulated behind the curtain, so to speak.
Well, there are cultural engineers that have written books over the decades that have set us up for the moment that we're in this time and place in America and even around the world in all modern cultures. Even those who militate against the Judeo-Christian culture are living in
lap of luxury.
Are living as beneficiaries of the Judeo-Christian culture. You don't have to be a follower of the God of the Hebrew Bible or a follower of Jesus Christ to be swimming in the culture and enjoying its benefits.
The cultural Marxists, they're seeking to destroy the Judeo-Christian culture, meanwhile enjoying the advantages of it. It's almost like they're cutting off the limb that they're sitting on.
Jerry, you were reading lately about some statistics regarding certain immigrant groups that are now living in America. We know that around the world, and particularly in China, with the one-child policy, there has been a tendency to abort female children, such that now China is facing an overpopulation of men in proportion to women. and that's having a great impact on their society. But recently you told me that this is even happening in America.
There's a hangover. The first generation of immigrants, Asian immigrants, are aborting girl children for gender selection. But it doesn't seem to continue on in the second generation.
So even people coming from non-Judeo-Christian cultures to settle in the United States, for example, by the second generation, they are already adopting more of a Judeo-Christian value in which it would be inappropriate or inconceivable to gender select your child and abort on the basis of gender.
The culture of life is still here in America, and it affects the second generation. I think this speaks well for the Judeo-Christian culture that we live in, and may we continue to support that culture as it's being militated against by the left.
And what we're talking about here when we talk about the Judeo-Christian culture and really what it has to do with the choice of abortion is we're talking about how the God of the Hebrew Bible has established the value of human life. He has given intrinsic value to humanity. He has made man and woman in his image and after his likeness and infused humanity with his great love and with purpose and with worth and value. And this is where we get the idea that the child in the womb has intrinsic value aside from whether the mom or dad want to keep that child. The child has value regardless. So how do we go about making good choices?
That's a good question. To make good choices is a lesson that needs to be taught to the young people. How to peer around corners and being able to see how choices will cause their life to take turns and what the effect of that is and how that where we end up is a function of the choice we make today.
The choices that you make will have consequences. And it is worth the time to sit and peer around the corner and try and see where your choices are going to lead. The fact is that the choice of abortion is not without consequences. Jerry and I have been living with the consequences of our abortion for 40 years. And for a long time, what we were living with from that choice was not comfortable in the least. It was utterly devastating, actually.
Holding on to shame.
There was an enormous amount of shame and guilt and a burden of regret. And we want to send you out with a warning not to take that choice lightly and not to believe the myth of choice that is perpetrated by the pro-abortion movement. Plan for outcomes. Look ahead.
Think about what you do.
I guess we'll leave it at that. Thanks for joining us today, and please like, share, subscribe, and comment, too. We'd love to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Like, share, and subscribe. Visit us at prepareroom.com and learn more about these Foundlings images at thefoundlings.net. Support us at givesendgo.com/preparearoomministries.